Luke 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he whom the Son will reveal. Hast revealed is apoklupto, which means to uncover that which has been hidden. And there's a lot where that is used. We're going to go through and look at those. Let's go to Matthew 16. We're studying revealed. I have to remind you every once in a while what word was said. Well, I'll remind one of you anyway.
Keep it up.
Verse 13, this is Peter's confession. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say to you, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, flesh and blood, or the human race, will never know the Son. It's impossible. Because they'll try to understand the Son after their own understanding of their own, and then just create another idol. The same as the golden calf. They'll ascribe all kinds of things to him, but they won't know the Son. No man knoweth the Son except to whom the Father reveals him. And the only time he reveals him to some man is when you are poor in spirit, empty. You understand that?
The revelation is in you. He reveals him in you, not he's over there.
Well, he has to reveal him anyway, first. That's why you start off, or many people start off believing in him, but then they live by the faith of him. You have to start with understanding who he is. Well, you don't have to, but that's normally the way it goes. So you have a understanding of him, but he's separate from you. This is what the understanding that Peter had here is, that no man revealed, the Father revealed, but he was separate, still separate from. He was in his presence, but separate from. All right, so let's see one more place where that's in John 12. see what John says about it. This is where the voice came. God said to about Jesus, I have, his prayer was, Father, glorify, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world, this world, be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Thus that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, when he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. So, even in the very presence, the people didn't see him. No man knoweth the Son. Let's look and see what it says about the character of God as revealed. Matthew 11. Well, this is the same thing he's just said in Luke, but let's look at it again. Verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man save the Son. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So the same thing is true with Jesus Christ and God. You cannot know God by the senses. You cannot know who he is by analysis, by study. You can know what somebody might say about him, but you can never know unless the Son reveals him. And the Son will not reveal him to any man who's still living, because you can't see God and live. Does this capture you a little bit?
Yeah, or a babe, like that's what he says. Like,
right.
There's no way to get there from here without God doing it.
Now, let's see if about the will of God regarding his children. Go to Philippians. You're doing something, Gary. Your grease is burning.
Well, this is not like this.
Hmm?
This is just not academic. This is the walk of a believer. This is where the tire meets the road of this revelation.
Amen.
Where'd you go?
Philippians. Chapter 3. Starting in verse 7. This gives the predicate for this place where God reveals. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So God has to reveal this thing, this system of the walk in Christ. Your mind would never accept it. Your mind cannot possibly accept total abandonment of self, having no investment in anything. Your mind cannot possibly accept what's said in Revelation. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that their works may follow them. Never again leave. Now this is, I don't know if you're dealing with this, but I promise you, everything in you wants the works to lead you, but you cannot give it any breath. No matter what it seems like, no matter how dangerous, how much in peril you are, but if you continue just living your life as a normal Gentile, you'll never know this. God will always keep it hidden. And you'll think about wanting to know how-tos and principles. And what do you do about this? And what do you do about that? This is really the essence of the walk.
Makes me think you can't use your mind.
You got to use your mind to repent. That's the beginning.
How about your heart?
You're gonna separate them?
Yeah.
How?
So your heart and your mind are the same.
You can't separate them. Heart just means the inner being. But
well, it says you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. I mean, there's separation there.
But you, the beginning always has to be with your mind. You've come to the end of yourself. You've seen the emptiness of human and work and human endeavor. You've seen the emptiness of your own life. And in that, you cry out. The analogy is a drowning man, and the third time he's raising his hand up.
I think
that's the purpose of your mind. The only reason you have the mind is so you can test and push all of the ends of the earth. You can expand the tent pegs to the end of the earth, the end of time, and find out there's nothing there. But if you still think there's something there, something to protect, something I have to do, I have to stay in this position because of any reason, then you'll never know what this is about.
There's a, you was talking earlier about, you know, it has to be revealed. And
the only way it's revealed is in the place. We'll see it in a minute when it talks about the babes. It's a word, the word babes here is a unique word. It's the word which means without words, before language. And that's where the repentance has to take place. At that gut level that has experienced all the world has to offer, and it's meaningless.
Yeah, I'm hearing walk in the place you received him. That's my connection to this.
Well, this is a biggie, because otherwise you will be sitting, you'll always sit around and wait. Sit around and wait for God to cause you to repent. Even though you know the stupidity of the things you keep on doing over and over and over again. But you feel you have to do it because there's no other way. And that's the place. That's that knife edge. It seems with everything in you that if you do truly abandon yourself, you will die. But you step back. That's the rarest thing in the universe for that to happen, for somebody to do that. And you, because 99.99% of the time you take you're a step or two back from that knife, and you're looking at it. And you can talk about the knife. You can talk about it. But you haven't experienced it. There's a whole world of crap going on today. Because this, you know, there's a whole world of believers who think that their God-given right and have the need, and they got to vote. I don't care if people vote or not, but I'm saying if you give any breath to who wins or who loses, then you're not in the walk. You return to the emptiness and the beggarly elements of the world. This is the place. Amen? Mr. Bojo is cogitating.
I'm not cogitating, I know you're wrong.
Here, kitty. Talk to me.
No?
No way.
You're such a character. No. All right, let's go to the mind of the prophets and see if we can find out. 1 Peter. There's a Hosea.
First Hosea?
First Jose. First Peter. No. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Really what it says has begotten us from above. But a better translation is, has begotten us from the beginning. Unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But if he's just because he's resurrected from the dead back there didn't do you any good. You've got to see that he's resurrected in you. He is your only self. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept or garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness, you are depressed, you are in deep heaviness through manifold testings or temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing or the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, no man, the trial of faith is everything you don't like, but it's everything you don't like after you've abandoned yourself. It's not everything you don't like while you're still walking the walk of a Gentile. You got to get in the swimming pool before you can go swimming. Amen?
Appearing is the same word, right? Revealing.
Well, yeah, but we're going to get to a revealing in another one. That was just the preamble.
But that's a good one.
I know. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So we have that place in two words. The appearing of Jesus Christ in verse 7 and in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed. Both taking something that was hidden and revealing it. That's why the Spirit of Christ in the prophets speak to the Christ in you. That's why there's nothing about the prophets that have had anything to do with time. It did only to verify that they were prophets. Remember, every time there's the prophets had to prophesy something that would occur within a few years or in their lifetime, in order for the rest of what they prophesied to be included. If it didn't happen exactly word for word, every jot and tittle, they were killed. Their writings and prophecies were destroyed. Their children were killed. And their name was wiped away from the history of Israel. You want to be a prophet? Now it's become, wow, we have a whole Kansas City prophets. And they don't have to get anything right because blah, 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 blah. They're idiots. These are the same guys that are saying the revelation that we have is so great that when we get to heaven, Peter, Paul, and James, Mark, and Matthew will sit at our feet wanting to hear the revelation that we have. God help those idiots. They know nothing. They're prophesying out of their own heart. Well, you can't say that. I just did. What? The point of it is taking it, your mind cannot reach what we're talking about. First of the fact of the Jesus Christ, the secret of the person of Jesus Christ, the character of God as a Father, the will of God for his children, the mind of the prophets. Nothing can have been even spoken without the revelation. And it doesn't change. It hasn't changed from then until now. And we're not done with it. Has revealed, but we're getting close to being done.
Yeah, the apocalypse. Everybody's always talking about the apocalypse. It's when he's revealed. When he's revealed to me,
that's
my own personal little apocalypse, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, of course.
And it's on and on.
Right. That's why the destruction of Babylon is so critical. And that why they spend chapter after chapter in the book of Revelation about Babylon. First in 17, it's predicted to be destroyed. Then in 18, it's destroyed. Because it's so subtle. The idea that every man is worshiping with a Babylonian garment. They have no understanding of that. So they think Babylon is a Catholic church, or Babylon is this guy or that. I mean, it's all men who live by cause and effect. If you're still living by cause and effect, then you will have a steel curtain between you and the revelation of Christ. You will think you know, but you don't, because you're still living by cause and effect.
There's nothing in the world that isn't cause and effect.
Of course there is.
Not
in the world, but
that.
Except Jesus Christ.
You and my wife are the same damn person. Everything I say, no, that's not right. Just listen to what I say and then say, no, that's not right.
You remind me of Kent.
Well, you remind me of, let me see.
Judy.
No, that's too nice. No, the world is cause and effect. You do something, something happens. It's yin and yang. It's the whole, it's what the world is about. We're in the world.
But we're not of it.
And we're not of it. That's the challenge right there, is knowing and seeing and experiencing and having your faith tested in that realm, where you're in it, but you're not worshiping it, not worried about the consequences.
Not of it. It's not a matter of not worshiping it. You can't be of it. You have to come out of her, my people.
Well, coming out of her doesn't take you out of,
no, but you got to quit the thought process that says if I do this, this will happen.
What do you think I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Apparently not. You're not going to have to fight me. No, that's what I'm trying to get to, is that it's we're in it, but not up. And that, I know that's what I go through every day, is because there's always stuff, if I do this, that'll happen, this and that, this and that. So it's just cause and effect everywhere.
But it is for everybody. Just ideas for me too.
Yeah.
But I don't pay any attention to it.
Just none at all, ever?
None. Zero. I'm tempted to.
I don't know if I do or not. I'm not even there in this talk.
But that's what you have to find out. You have to see. You have to come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. You have to see that cause and effect is the greatest enemy of mercy and grace there is. It's the greatest enemy of faith there is. But it's so pervasive that no man sees it. It's like a fish describing water. But once you see it, You cannot touch the unclean thing again, no matter what it costs you. That's what I'm talking about. It's not just understanding, oh yeah, I'm doing it, and I'm waiting for God to show me. It's critical. Because again, the description of Babylon is it's the horror in the seven mountains of your mind. And that's just, I mean, in my mind too. And her basis of power is cause and effect. She's very religious. All I'm asking you to do, if you see it, repent. Then the business is not your business anymore. But if you see it and justify it, then God help you. Heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see of thee, and I abhor myself. Repent in dust and ashes. I know a lot about that place. All right, we'll continue on and have this reveal tomorrow. Take a big breath.